I'm on the road to recovery, step by step. Tears on my pillow that won't dry on their own beyond my ears. I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone.
Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. Let's have Spencer come up and do our joke.
Hey, I'm Spencer. I'm an alcoholic joke teller. And I got another one from Take Me to Your Sponsor, the best jokes and cartoons that a grapevine can make up. All right. One Saturday night, an AA speaker got up to tell his story. I graduated from Harvard Law School, he told the crowd. I was appointed ambassador to China, was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for my diplomacy, and then the Pulitzer Prize for my book. There were two old-timers in the back row, and one leaned over to the other and said, "By golly, now we got somebody." Then the speaker continued. Then I joined AA, and my sponsor told me to quit telling lies.
Thank you, Spencer. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and my name is James.
James.
Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation, so please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise that might or will distract others. Take this time to get connected to God, let the craziness of the day drift away, and ask God to help you stay focused on the study tonight. If everyone's ready, we're going to start the meditation and bring in the monks.
Thank you.
going to say the fog light prayer. They're up on the screen if you don't know it. God.
Let your love shine through me like a fog light, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me.
17, the tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. I've asked Monique to read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is. Let's welcome up Monique.
Hi, everyone. Monique, alcoholic. Hello. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honesty, facing his problems in the light of our experience, can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer. Thank you.
Thank you, Monique. Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so turn your phone off. We have Paulette on her 11th session. She's a dear friend, and if you can't see up here because of all the bright lights, they upgraded her water. Please welcome Paulette.
Hi, Only a dear friend would say something like that. Thank you, James. Oh, it's nice to be here. Thank you. No matter how I get to feel when I get to, before I get to an AA meeting, and I get in, as soon as I start to greet people and have shared a conversation with each other, my whole attitude and disposition changes. It never fails. I hope to God it never changes, because it's such a wonderful feeling. Money can't buy this. And it's just totally one alcoholic speaking to another alcoholic. And the energy that we bring into a room when we speak from the heart, it's called the language of the heart. And I just want to say to you guys, thank you. You've made my night. And you just do it for me. So thank you. Thank you. Tonight we are on the 11th. Why are we hearing an echo, Mike? I hear an echo. Okay. I think you have fixed it. I don't hear it again. Okay. All right, guys, let's get into the 11th step. Before I start, let me introduce myself to those of you who don't know who I am. And also the way I was taught to introduce myself every time I get up and speak in front of a group of alcoholics, I have to tell you exactly this. I am an alcoholic. And I do have a home group, and my home group is the One Day at a Time group of Alcoholics Anonymous located in Miramar. My home group meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Actually, last night was our group anniversary. We have been around for 37 years, so it was wonderful. And I am sponsored, and I sponsor. And to me, it's the difference between work and working. I do have a sober date, and my sober date is January 28, 1995, and my name is Paulette. Hello, fellow travelers. And tonight I have to read my set-aside prayer, because it's a special night for me. I told you that this was given to me by my previous sponsor, Dorothy H. And there are many versions, but this is the one she gave me, and it is the one that speaks to my heart and my spirit. It balances me out. And why it is so special to me more than any other night, it's because today Dorothy Harris, if she had lived, would have had 49 years of continuous sobriety. Today is her anniversary. So I'm reading and I'm doing service in honor of the woman that have helped me with 10, 11, and 12 until she died. We lived in those three steps. So I think I couldn't have designed this any better. It is just wonderful that I'm standing in front of a group of drunks and talking about what this woman has given me. So we'll start with the set-aside prayer. And as I said before, if you're here and you still have a problem with the God concept, please do not be discouraged. Keep an open mind. Something that may come out of me may touch you and move you on the other side. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know what you can do in the meantime, because it's what I did, I kept an open mind so that some other idea may seep in. And so the set-aside prayer goes like this. Dear God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself. This book, my disease, these steps, and especially about you, dear God, so that I may have an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please help me to see the truth. Thank you for your indulgence. So we are on, I can't believe I'm with you guys 11 weeks, man. Time fly while we're busy working. 11th step, I have to admit, and I told a couple of folks tonight, it's my favorite step. All of the steps are important and necessary. So just don't say Paulette says it's her favorite step and just go run and tell your sponsor that that's the only step you're going to work. That's not true. It happens to be my favorite step for the mere reason it saved my life. I am one of those alcoholics who, as 10 Steps says, I sat on my laurels in the rooms of AA. It can happen. Where I was not doing any continuous work. So my emotional and spiritual growth, I failed to enlarge in my spiritual life. And what happened after 6 years, I ended up being emotional and spiritually bankrupt. This step saved my life so that I did not find it necessary to pick up a drink or a mood-altering substance. That's why it's my favorite step. And so that's what I meant when I said that. So it says, and you know I'm going to read it as it's written because I'm an alcoholic. I still believe Bill should have put a word in there or a comma or a period. So I always read it so I can follow directions. If you're like me, I still don't like to read the instructions that is placed in boxes when I buy stuff. I still think I know how to do it. Step 11 says, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Quite a mouthful, eh? But I picked a couple of words out of there that helps me to put it together. Because as you know, I like to break the steps down. It's easy for me to digest and work it piecemeal at a time. Sought is a big word for me. Action. Improve is another one. And the word only is another one for me. So we'll see how those things play out. We'll see what God has to say, won't we? I'm going to start in the big book tonight because it's so much about the 11th step that I really want to get to. And I'm going to tell you this. One of the things that helps me so much with the 11th step is the fact that today I practice what it talks about. My 11-step practice has been enlarging into what I call a two-way prayer. I do that every day, every morning. And I want to tell you guys that thank God I know that selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of my problems because I still have it. It doesn't go away. I just don't use it as often as I used to. I get up at 4:45, between 4:45 and before 5. And I sit in my backyard, and now it's dark, and it's quiet, and it's peaceful. I have a nice backyard that's wonderful and peaceful. I get out there before you all wake up. Because I have the thinking that I need to get to God before you all do. Because you all got a whole lot of problems. And I want God to get to mine first. So I still think that way. But I like the relationship that gives me, because it allows me, not only do I get disciplined, I have come to understand that I need it as much as I need air to breathe, because I tried not doing it, and I'll tell you about that, how that worked out. But I tell you where I am first so that I can weave it around what led me to be where I am today with that practice. And so that's what I do. I do a couple of readings that opens up my mind to let the God idea seep in. And then I also write. I write down a question. And I used to have a question like, why am I judgmental? Or why am I in this fear? Or I just do that to open me up so that I can listen. And my prayer is, dear God, Please direct my thinking. Let it be divorced from self-pity, dishonesty, and self-seeking motives, so that I may be able to hear, listen, because I personalize my prayers. I use something from the big book, but I personalize it over time because it gives me a form of intimacy with the God of my understanding. My God is no longer out there. The God of my understanding has become such a close friend, a father. My God, I now call my God Father of Light. And so this is developed over time. And so I sit there and I set my timer for 10 minutes when I go into meditation. And most of the time I can finish by 8 minutes. But I try to go through for the 10 minutes because it helps me. It calms me down and I'm open. And when I am open, it is a wonderful feeling that I get. And so, and if you're like me, you want more. And so I do this every day. Every day. No matter whether it's raining or there's sunshine and weekends, there's no days off. So what I do it for is because of the beneficial factor it gives me. If I don't do it, I'll tell you what happens to me when I don't do it. You all need to be aware when I don't do it. So I have to tell you that this is my practice every day. And even my family knows it. That's another thing about when you practice this way of life. People that you love and know and your family knows that you are involved in some serious contact with a power greater than yourself. And it's not them. And it's not you. And you're given that space. So that's where I'm at. How did I get there? Took a while. Long journey. Fascinating adventure that got me to that place. So here we are. And then I'm going to start. Here's what I want to start with. He talks about this in page 83, I want to start when he says, the spiritual life is not a theory. Hello. It was theory for me one time. He says, we have to live it. That's what he says in that one sentence. And I want to start with that because it is important, because it's about my spiritual life. So what am I talking about? I am going to be tapping into an unsuspecting inner resource. Sounds huge, but it's my personal relationship with the God of my understanding. See, I have to continue. The word continue from 10 means something. It means continue to do certain things. Continue to watch for dishonesty, selfishness. There's a couple more that goes along with it, but those are my two favorite. Fear is another one. I have to watch for it and throughout my day. And so when he tells me this, I have to look for it because I'm having relationship with humans. I don't do relationship well. And so I pay attention because I don't want to harm people anymore. I want to love and tolerate them the way I should, as 9-step says, all, even the ones that I know God could do some work on. It's none of my business, but I'm still thinking it, you know. And so by practicing that, continue, it's action and more action. Step 11 is the entire 4 through 10 makes up 11. It is a lot of work to do step 11. It is not easy for a human being like me who is selfish and self-centered to do this on a daily basis. It's a lot of work. It's not easy to live this way of life. It is truly a design for living. And the decision that this alcoholic made in 3 has now come to fruition in 11. It is now what I have to do. So continue 4 through 10 is 11, right? What happens? I am now going to do 3, the full effect, the permanent effect of 3 actually is in 11. So see how long it took us to get to there to see that decision becomes real. Even though all along we were practicing faith, we got little degrees every time we went through a step. We got degrees of all the principles, not a lot, because alcoholics tend to get lazy and procrastinate. And then I have had enough. And so when I think I've had enough, I'm good. That's the alcoholic anthem. I'm good. I don't need to do this anymore. I was part of that, so I know it well. Well, what step 11 says, no, you're not good. You got to seek some more, and sought is an action. It's moving. You're moving ahead. And so when he says, what happens for me now, my directions of my life has changed. And I am now living a spiritual life. I have no idea what this is. So I'm new to this. And faith says I am stepping out because I don't know what that next step is going to be. But I need to be armed. I need to be powered up. I need to be ready. And this step allows me to plug in to that unsuspecting inner resources that will protect me and provide me with my needs. It says pay special attention to me because I need it. I cannot face the world without doing this. I have tried, believe me, multiple times. And I realize that of myself, I am nothing. The Father doeth the work. That has been real for me. And so when he says, what I need to do this, he says, I need to remember that this is a long road of reconstruction ahead. So I cannot take time off. But what I need to remember is what when I do this practice, 11 step, he's talking to me about, I wear it loosely when I do it regularly. I'm serious about it, but I wear it loosely. You know, I don't knock people over with this spiritual stuff because that's not what it's about. And so when he talks to me, he says, much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. Whoever it is for you. Mine is God as I understand God. And he says, if I have carefully followed directions, so I have followed directions from step 1 through 10. 4 through 10 now has given me enough to know. If I have followed directions, it is straight from the big book, by the way. I have begun to sense a flow of his spirit in me. I know that. Then he says, to some extent, we have become God conscious. I am aware that there is a power that is flowing in me. Sometimes I hear that power sometimes talks to me. Don't do it, Paulette. Don't do it. I know it's not me saying it because I like to do it. And so he says, here's it. I have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. Vital means life. It means that I have this sense that I am connected to something bigger than me that's directing my life. And he says, but I must go further. Must go further. So in case you get missed over the word must, it's right there. Must go. My very existence depends on that word. And so he says, what happened is that if I must go further, it means action. I didn't make it up. He said, more action. This is I missed that in my first 6 years in AA. I didn't read that enough. And so he says, step 11 suggests prayer and meditation, and I shouldn't be shy about it. Missed all of that in my first 6 years, because what happened was there were specific instructions that was given in this way to enlarge my spiritual life. So I'm going to tell you about what propelled me into loving this step. I was 6 years sober. I got sober in Brooklyn, New York. My first sponsor had died. And my second sponsor, I never used. I just had her in name only. Sponsorino. Called her occasionally when I thought that she needed to hear my voice. I didn't want another sponsor. I didn't care for another sponsor. But I did it because I was tired of people in the rooms asking me if I had a sponsor. So I didn't want to lie. I just said, yeah, I got a sponsor. Now, if they had followed up with a question and said, do you talk to your sponsor often? Then that would have been a big deal, because I wouldn't have known what to say. Or maybe I would have lied. And so that's my life at that stage. I had gone back to college to finish my education. And so I was busy. My life was good. My household was healthy. Financial security, the nine-step promises have returned. I am just doing, I'm good. I couldn't get to AA meetings like I was taught to and like I did in my first, second year, 2 years in AA. I lived and breathed Alcoholics Anonymous, the fellowship, the service, everything about AA. And then life and materialism took over and became my God. Self-reliance and self-sufficiency became my drive. And so I strive for all of these things. Never once even given a second thought about the fact that Alcoholics Anonymous has given me the drive, the willingness, the obsession has been gone, and have given me a full life that I could go and pursue whatever goals I had. Never thought about it. And so I went to school and I worked at night. My son was doing good. Life was LG. Couldn't tell me. I kept certain spiritual giants, I call them in AA, as my check-in friends. Those are the people who tell you about your bullshit. Excuse me, there goes one. Those are friends I keep to this day. They are not afraid to tell me when I'm off the mark, because they're about saving my life, not my face. And I have them today. I've always had them. There is a gift that the God of my understanding gave me. And so I'm running on this fume, self-reliance, empty fumes. And in the middle of all of that, I went to, I had my last class, my last exam in downtown Manhattan, in lower Manhattan at Pace University. And got on the train. It was a beautiful sunshine, blue skies. Everything about the day was perfect. And the train was taking its time. So by this time, I have no patience. I became completely selfish and self-centered. No tolerance. Forget about love for all. I was back in control. Self-will doesn't go anywhere, by the way. What 11-step does for us is that we give it up and put it in the hand of whatever higher power we have, and then receive the God of my understanding direction. But at that time, none of that made sense. I was in control again. And so, and then when you're in control, you find like-minded people to co-sign your BS. Because you want to complain? Don't have to go far. And I found me a perfect partner. And him and I complained about New York Transit. And I said, we're going to write a letter about the New York Transit and the lousy service, because that's the kind of mentality, that's the kind of spirit I'm running around with. If you struck a match, I would have blown up in flames. This is what I call the equivalent of a dry drunk, 6 years sober. I wasn't sober. I call that dry drunk because I stop enlarging in my spiritual life. But for the grace of God that I didn't pick up a drink or a mood altering substances, what I picked up was all of the character defects that worked for me before I came to you guys and used them on you. And so what happened is the train came and I got on the train with the same partner I picked up, because I'm good at picking up people. And I'm in there and we are talking about transit so bad. And there's a slow crawl all the way into Lower Manhattan. And we can't, not once did I stop to think that something other than stopping me from going to take my exam could have been, something was wrong. And not once. That's how selfish and self-centered I was. And then in the midst of that, I am complaining and I'm bitching and I'm moaning. And then the train gets over the bridge and the conductor says, this is the last stop on the train. Oh, I was fit to be tied. And then he says, everybody gets out. And so all of us are running out. Everybody's mad. Nobody knows what's going on, nor did we care. Because you're inconveniencing me. That's how selfish I had gotten. And it's crawled up the steps of Rector Street in Lower Manhattan, if those of you who knows what Lower Manhattan is, and I've been there. And as soon as I entered to outside, it was complete pitch darkness. I couldn't see who was in front of me. I couldn't see anybody's face. And we knew the air was thick with smoke. And there was all kinds of particles falling on us. And we smelled something like that felt like a bomb, but we weren't sure. And fear seeps in. And all of a sudden, I'm down on my knees. And I'm saying to myself, oh, my God, what happened? I don't know what happened. And just like Alcoholics Anonymous, out of the darkness, the pitch black dust fire, because my feet were burnt from the dust, comes a white hand and a black hand, just like AA. And this man says, can we hold your hand? Because we don't know where we're going and what is happening to you. And I grabbed onto these outstretched hands, because I don't know what they look like just by their hands. I can't see faces. And I get down on my knees, and the three of us are holding on for dear life, just like AA when I came in, and crawling on our knees, because all we're hearing is plane flying and just pitch black. And in that moment, something weird happened to me. In that moment, I knew right there and then that if I was ever going to spare out of this calamity, I would go right back to Alcoholics Anonymous and do exactly what I was supposed to do. That thought occurred in my spirit in the midst of fear. And so I did hold on to for these people, and we crawled and we cried. The man beside me, he had a gash in his forehead and the blood was coming down, so he closed his eyes. So he leaned more on us to lead him to safety. And we crawled over the bridge. And when we got into Brooklyn, by the courthouse, there was a line, a sea of people with water, with towels, outstretched hands, just like AA, greeting us and clapping for us because we made it out. And by the time I got home to Brooklyn, Friends of Alcoholics Anonymous was there taking care of my family. I kid you not, this is what happened to me. 6 years sober, I was dry. didn't bother to do the work. And so when I decided to do the work, I called up one of what I call my spiritual giant. She takes no prisoners. And I said, what do I need to do now? She said, we're going to make 11-step meeting 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. You can't mess this shit up. And so every morning, Sunday morning, I go to with her. And we go to Old Park Slope, Caton. They're still there. And we make 11-step meeting at 11 o'clock. And then we would sit and she's a vegetarian before it was hip. And so I had to go to these vegetarian places, no meat, and go through the 11-step piece by piece by piece, line by line. And for that I am grateful, because this is what it means to me now. When he says, if I work the proper attitude, if I have it, I don't have to be, it won't be challenging to work at it. What attitude are we talking about? So he says, and here's what he says in page 86. Because Bill lays it out, you don't have to make it up. You just have to have the proper attitude, Paulette. Get busy doing it. Stop whining. You want to feel better? You want to have a better relationship with whatever power you call your higher power? Here's what you do, Paulette. He says, we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestion. Really? They must have sneaked those words in when I wasn't looking, because I never seen that before. And here is it. Because I used to think these questions were 10-step. No. They are nightly questions for 11-step. For years, I walked around thinking this was it. No, it's the 11-step, the first part, night review, nightly review. Remember, it's not an inventory, it's a review, Paulette. Hello. When we retire at night, Paulette, we constructively review your day. Constructively, because you know how we can get. At least I know how I can get. I start picking apart stuff. Constructively means I have to be disciplined to look at things realistic. Then he says, were you resentful, Paulette? Bet your sweet Jesus I was. Was I selfish? Yes, I was. Was I dishonest? Yes, I was. Isn't it normal? Or was I afraid? All four applied when I started. Now I don't have all four. Because see, not every day my balance sheet is in the red. There's always some assets, some goodness. See, I believe in balance. The 11th step gives me balance. And then he said, do you owe an apology? Jesus, early days I did. Everything that came out of my mouth was an apology needed. I got sick of it. I was tired of apologizing to people. And then you told me I can't just say I'm sorry. Jesus, I got to go into details. Be specific. Oh, my God, these people are asking for too much. But I had to if I want what you had. And then he says, have you kept something to yourself that you should have shared with another? Hello. And I was like, Jesus, I got to even let them get into my mind? Yeah. Got to do it if you want what they're offering. And I wanted what my friend had. She was so peaceful. Nothing upset her. She would get mad for a minute and then she was back on even keel. Hated her guts. But I was my friend. And then she said, were you kind and loving? I hadn't been that way in a very long time. I didn't even remember what it felt like to be kind and loving to another human being. Critical of people. Yet I am saying I'm sober. That's a miserable way to live. And then he says, he keeps saying this. Were you thinking of yourself most of the time? Hello, selfish, self-centered. Can't get out of my head. And then, was I ever thinking of what I could ever do for you? That's a deep question. Because it made me see the selfishness in me. When do I ever think of other people? When I do these things, when I am doing service, Mike Chase and I talked a bit about this earlier. Service has to be inconvenience, or else it's not. It's called fun. And so one of these questions are packed to thought-provoking. It will make you scratch your head because now you start to think about these questions. You pay attention to how you're dealing with people. Because I know the question is coming tonight. Shoot, I can't answer all of these questions like, no. I should say yes. And then after all, it says, or was I trying to pack everything in the stream of life? Who am I trying to prove? What am I trying to prove? How successful I am with busy living, successfully. Here is the list of things I have accomplished. Life, the spiritual life isn't like that for me. You know, I used to serve myself a platter-sized portion on a dinner-sized plate. So it would never be accomplished within a 24-hour span. That's called insanity. And so one of the things, these questions, he said, be careful, Paulette. Don't drift into worry or morbid reflection or fear. Look at it constructively and see what you can do with these questions. Be objective about it and be practical. None of that self-pity stuff. And then he says, because if I do that, I will diminish my usefulness to you. This is before I go to sleep. Now, if I do this on a regular basis, which I do, I sleep very well because I know what I need to do, where I've made some mistakes. Because I'm human. And then he says, on awakening, this is when I get up. On awakening, I always think about my 24 hours. It still hasn't changed, but I immediately change the thought by saying, thank you, God, for waking me up. Thank you, God, for my sobriety. It changes the course of my thinking immediately. Because I'm starting to think about something else other than me. And then he says, and this is my prayer. I ask. Whenever you see the two words together, we ask. It is a prayer. We ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonesty, or self-seeking motives. See, under these conditions, if I am in that zone, he says, I can employ my mental faculties. Jesus, because sanity has returned. Sound thinking. I can think things through without the fear, the dishonesty, the self-seeking, all the drama. And so he says, what? Because God gave me brains to use. So it's through the seeking of prayer and meditation, I can now learn how to use my brain. Sanity definitely has returned if I'm practicing through prayer and meditation. What is prayer? It's a petition from my heart to the God of my understanding. It is also telling me I am not demanding anything anymore. See, my God, before I met you guys and you changed my life, my God was a Santa Claus. I asked for things, and it better be there next morning. But it's different today. I request. And what I do request is only knowledge of that God of my understanding. Please tell me what my next step is to be. That's what I ask now. What is my next step to be? Usually it takes me all different ways. It is amazing how that works out. I went to work today and I had a plan, little plans and designs. I got in my office, I kid you not. And it changes everything that I wanted to do. I ended up doing a hurricane drill. Never done one of those. Guess what? God of my understanding gave me a lot of clinical providers who don't like to take orders. Ooh, I gave orders today. Thank you, God. I was like, did you very controlling, Paul? Yes, I know. Get in line. Enjoy the heck out of it, too. Because I was willing to be led. Step 11 does those wonderful things. And so when he says, I need to ask for these things so I can think things through, he says, and then, so now you have the night. Now you have the morning. Remember, it's four valuable suggestions. Now we come to indecision. Oh, I don't know what to do. You ever heard newcomers? Jesus, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Get into the steps. That's what you need to do. He says, in thinking about our day, we may face indecision. I have always never knew how to handle that. Because I always used to need a drink to make a decision. And then by the time I got out of the bar 4 days later, the decision hasn't been made. But he says, here we ask prayer. For inspiration and intuitive thought. He says, I don't have to struggle. It's clear as day. Because you will be surprised, Paul, at how the right answer comes. Clear as a bell. And then he says, because when I used to have a hunch or occasional inspiration, they were not permanent. They were not reliable because they would come sporadic, on and off. I would get inspired and sometimes it might work and sometimes it wouldn't. The 11 step practice says those things, those hunches or inspiration for you, Paulette, will become a working part of your mind. That means when they come, they hit. It is like there's no separation from my mind, body, and spirit. But I've got to put the work in. And so he says, here's what happens. Because I am still inexperienced, no matter how many years you think I have. Because I am still in spiritual kindergarten. And these steps, that these instructions will take me as far as I want my spiritual life to become a practical and working part of my life. I've got to do it if I want what it's saying. He says, I'm not going to be inspired. I tried it. And then I gave up on it. And what happened? I became a menace to society. People just could not understand why I barked instead of speaking. You know, or I don't have the patience to listen to your nonsense. What was happening to me? And so I understand that I need to do this because I will break out in a rash of self-will, or as Bill says right here, absurd actions. I've done it, so I've done it for you. You don't have to do it. And so what happened is he says, We need to. So now we have the nightly review, morning prayer, prayer. Then he talks about the meditation after we go through indecision. He talks about prayer. prayer. And the prayer, he says, a lot of us did not know that we pray, our prayers were ineffective. We don't know how to pray. It's an art. It has to be developed over time. And a prayer that is simple to the point and sincere for me is the best one that touches my spirit. But it has to be developed. And he talks about it as part of those four valuable suggestions. He said every time you take more time, Paulette, to pick out what clothes you want to wear or what shoes. I'm a shoes person. If you take the amount of time that you use to find your shoes and what shoes will go with that outfit, you could have been sitting in quiet meditation with the God of your understanding half of that time and get more out of it. And that has been my truth. I have found that works quite well. And so when it's breakdown like this, he says, we know that this works. So we know as we go through the day, whenever we are in doubt or somebody agitates us, we just pull ourselves away and get into this and start talking to our Father, whoever that Father is. It moves us into right thinking. A quiet moment. Step 11 works anywhere, anytime, no matter what your circumstances, because it is that. It is cash and carry. You can buy, put it in your pocket. Easy. You don't even have to worry. And so step 11 for me is, and I have to tell you my best part, and I'm going to end with this. If I am relying on the God of my understanding, it always, this power, always brings me tremendous relief. Always. It relieved me of my own thinking and the stress on my body and my mind. So what I would like to tell you is the practice of step 11, as Bill lays it out, has made me become much lighter. I can wear my sobriety loosely, but be serious about it. What he's saying is, he also helps me to understand that faith, a practice of mental acceptance in placing trust in another power greater than Paulette, has deepened so much more and has taken roots. Roots that cannot be uprooted easily. And every time I do it, and every morning I get up, it increases. So I am here to tell you that when I am doing this, I am in less danger of excitement, fear, worry, self-pity, or foolish decision. I can become more efficient. And what he says here, he says, and I won't be tired so easily, because I'm not carrying the weight of the world and your problems on me. And what he said is, in the last line he says, we alcoholics are undisciplined. Well, thank you, Bill Wilson. So I would like to end, because I think I'm over, from the 12 and 12, 105, 11th step. And he says, and I hope I can remember it because it's imprinted on my heart. It says, when the hand of God seems heavy and unjust, new lessons for living were learned. He says, I'm going to read it for you because it meant so much to me because of two things. Not only as a 9/11 survivor, but because Ed passed away 2 years ago. And this has been my truth. It's been real for me. Because not once did I ever want to turn away from Alcoholics Anonymous after 9/11. And I didn't think that I would ever even think about it when Ed died. I doubled down and redoubled my efforts in AA. When Ed started, health started failing, I was making meetings and doing service like you wouldn't believe it. You would have never known. You would be around me and I was the happiest person on planet Earth, because I was with my tribe. So when I tell you about what 11 Step talks about on page 105 in the 12 and 12, I have lived these words. And I will live them continuously because life is like that. And he says, here it is. On 105, he says, he will report that out of every season of grief or suffering, when the hand of God seems heavy or even unjust, new lessons for living were learned. New resources of courage were uncovered. And that finally, inescapably, the conviction came that God does move in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Thank you. Thank you, James.
You're welcome. Please give her another round of applause. And we're going to have Brandon come up and do the secretary's report.
Hi, my name is Brandon. I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. We also have QR codes on the chair backs and on Zoom. I've asked Jana to come up and read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic.
Hi, family. My name is Jana. I'm a recovered alcoholic. We are not cured of alcoholism, recovered but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we're not cured. The allergic reaction of alcohol will remain with us for a lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
...1940-style Big Book sponsorship from the forward to the second edition. Alcoholics Anonymous of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried. 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, came to believe, and experience is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Is anyone needing a sponsor? No? Okay. Can the recovered alcoholics please raise your hand? These are the people to surround yourself with. All right, and then we have announcements. Intergroup is where you can buy AA-related literature and medallions. Intergroup is responsible for creating our Where and When and scheduling the AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. Next. Broward County Institutions Committee is responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get to an outside meeting, such as jails, detoxes, and rehabs. They meet monthly to organize the meeting schedules at the 12-step house. Do we have any members of BCIC committee out there tonight? If so, could you stand? Thank you. We got two. Awesome. All right, next. And then here are some upcoming service. 60th Appreciation Banquet, accepting donations. Guess we're going to skip that. Telephone relay from 5 to 8. Mike Chase has more information back there. We have Paulette for one more week. She's killed it. And then we have Marion from May 9th to June 13th, two steps a session. It's going to be great. And, of course, here's our home group's Big Book Study Workshop, where the Big Book comes alive. Join us for fellowship at 6:30, and the workshop starts at 7:15. We have CDs, mugs, large print Big Books, and the little red book. and Big Book dictionaries for sale. We meet every Thursday starting promptly at 7:15, and we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bells. See you next week.
We have tonight's session and all past speaker podcasts at alcoholicsandgod.org. There's QR codes in the back you can scan. And again, please come to Monday. We're upstairs on the third floor. And to those who want to thank Paulette for her awesome talk, please line up down the center aisle. We're going to close with the Lord's Prayer seated. If you don't know it, it'll be up on the screen. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Heart is heavy, soul is thirsty, body's aching. I am desperately in need of restoration. I'm a stranger.
doodles and sighs, and oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you, baby, baby. Yes, when you're laughing. When you're laughing, yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. Stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby. And I hope.
Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Michael Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you?
shine a light on me tonight. Shine a light on me tonight. Ooh, there ain't no place for a woman like me. My hands are dirty, but my soul is clean. So love, shine a light on me tonight. As if these feet has fallen so go and I work these hands.
Thank you very much.